Rise and shine, Atlanta. We are live from Flowery Branch, Georgia, for the fourth practice today of Atlanta Falcons training camp 2025. I am Bo Morgan. They call me Squidbilly, and I love Adam Sandler movies. She is Allie Mack because a few things about her: the queen of tofu, the first lady of Atlanta baseball, and the leader of Allie's army. And he is our All-American, and at one point, college football's former Atlanta Falcon and always national champion, Michael. Don't ask him what the P stands for, Johnson. And back there in
pads.
The studio.
Stands for pads.
Well, among other things. Back in the studio, we have the most vanilla man in radio, the worst wave, Mr. Dylon Dylan Matthews. And then here with us, hooking everything up, Big Gordon Robinson. And guys, we have a huge day here for the whole station, but we will get it started the best, right, Allie? We have something planned special for our audience today at 8 o'clock.
We absolutely do. I'm going to get to that in a second. The other day when we got to Atlanta Falcons training camp, Mike and I were talking about this earlier. I was a little bit chilly, but I didn't want to say it out loud because I knew there was going to be a day when we showed up and it was already hot. That day has come. It is nice and warm today. I don't know why I curled my hair this morning. It is stick straight already because the humidity. So if you're coming out here, bring water, wear shorts, wear a tank top, get sunscreen. It's going to be very, very warm today.
I do want to give you some due right off the bat. Like, you showed up today and I noticed something about you immediately. You have something today that you did not have with you day one of training camp for you, which is a bucket style. I think it's different. Ladies' hats are different. It's not quite a men's bucket hat. It's a female version, but a bucket style hat that will cover your shoulders and your face completely. Very, very good adjustment on day two. Because first day, I'm gonna be honest, you came out here like a rookie with no hat.
I did. And then I felt that sun beating on my forehead. I got a massive forehead, too. So I was like, this sunburn is going to be so embarrassing and totally show that I'm a rookie. Yes, so I have my nice little gardening hat today. Very excited to wear it. It's super cute. So another reason to wear it.
Very proud of that adjustment by you.
Thank you. Well, 6:20 today, we are going to cover Andy and Randy's conversation that they had with Hall of Famer Shannon Sharpe. They talked about Kyle Pitts' health. We'll get into that. 8 a.m. today, like Bo was just mentioning. Would you like to reveal, Bo, who we're going to talk to at 8 a.m.?
Yeah, at 8 o'clock, we are talking to none other than the general manager, the head honcho, Mr. Terry Fontenot. And it's not the first time we have talked to him, but it's the first time that we have talked to him this training camp. I know he did do a presser, but we sit down with him exclusively for what I would call somewhat of a one-on-one. It's kind of a three-on-one thing, but it is not a mass media thing. It'll be his first interview with us and the only one that he'll do on the radio in the city.
It's not an arrogance. It's a confidence.
Yeah, that's exactly right, and that's what I expect. I'm stoked to get a couple of – look, I mean – the thing is that Terry has a lot going on right now, so I'm curious to get a little bit of insight into what his schedule like, what his everyday is like. Is this busier for him than combine week or some of the other things that he has going on? So, a lot of fun. It'll be 8 o'clock to get some insight into the personnel management of the Atlanta Falcons at this point in time.
If you are hearing engines in the background, that is the Falcons rolling in to get their first workout in for the day. We are all checking out what kind of cars they're driving.
They're all very nice.
They're all very, very nice. Definitely out of my price range. So today, though, after practice, after pads are on, we see the guts and the glory on the field today. Mike, do you want to reveal who we get to talk to after practice?
I'm actually really excited about this. We have not had a chance on this show to talk to Mr. Caden Ellis, inside linebacker for the Atlanta Falcons, and we'll get that conversation knocked out after practice today and get an idea. I don't think there's anybody better to talk to on a first day of full pads than an inside linebacker like Caden Ellis. So we haven't had a chance to chop it up with Caden Ellis. I think he's always full of a lot of good answers, and so it'll be fun to have that conversation with him and get some insight into how this defense is looking right now.
I'm very excited as well. When I saw that, I go, huh, that makes me excited, because I was sitting in the gym, because I was sitting there, I was like, I always see these lists, and I'm always like, they didn't give me who I asked for, and I was like, well, I asked for him. I wanted to talk to Caden Ellis, because he's not just – Mike said he's an inside linebacker. He is, but he does so much more. And I think it's very interesting. You're going to hear, though, from more than just Caden Ellis. Obviously, we'll have that tomorrow. But, you know, live after practice, Andy and Randy are going to have Matthew Bergeron step by. To me, that guy has been the one player that brought the interior of the offensive line together. Chris Lindstrom's great. He's an all-pro. He's a phenomenal player. Mike and Dylan did an excellent interview with him the other day. But when Matthew Bergeron got here, the interior solidified. And he has been – he might go down as Terry Fontenot's best second-round draft pick to me. The guy's anything but a wasted pick. He is phenomenal. And he has really helped this team come together. And then Carl and Mike this afternoon will have Leonard Floyd for you, who is really the biggest free agency addition this team had this year.
Well, big day for Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Obviously, everyone's going to be out here watching practice. But today, yes, pads are on, like we've mentioned. So, guys, what changes now? What will you be watching for specifically today?
Well, there's a lot of things that you can't see during a padless practice, and there's a lot of work you cannot get in a padless practice. We're going to see one-on-one drills with offensive line, defensive line.
Oh, that's what I love that.
One-on-one drills, offensive line, defensive line. And, look, man, it's kind of a – I hate to say this because, you know, you're not supposed to hold, but there is a certain amount of coaching preparation for offensive line that goes into the grips, into the framework of the actual pads of a defensive lineman that kind of even things out a little bit in terms of the way you're able to block a defensive lineman. So a lot of good work today from that front. You'll see a level of physicality you have not seen over the first few days where guys are – they have been taking care of each other. They will attempt to do that today, but you'll see the pads start to click-clack a little bit more. And today's when you actually see who's doing well. You know what I mean? Like, I think in jerseys, you're like, oh, that guy's bouncing around. That guy's in the backfield. That guy's tipping a ball. That guy. Today, we're going to find out. Today, we are really going to find out in real football.
You want to watch this, Allie? Mike, to your point, I want to see the hands of the offensive and defensive linemen and how quick the offensive lineman is getting his hands on a defensive lineman on one-on-one, how the defensive lineman is trying to rip away or use, you know, do a move like a swim move or something, or get that offensive lineman's hands or just beat him right off the bat and swipe his hands away. What about this, though, for me, is go to the other, you know, this is where you see physicality at the top of routes, right, where you see grabbing and pulling. Because, I mean, there's not a lot of – Mike's right. There's not a lot of physicality in a non-padded – the guys aren't just really grabbing each other much, right? I mean, you disagree, Mike, as far as, like, routes around. But you're going to see guys kind of push off a little more, or maybe, you know, a DB try to grab a jersey a little bit, like, just – very, very insignificantly, but then see a hand swipe and just get away. It's that kind of stuff is going to be fun for me.
I also, and I want to bring this up as well, I was watching Good Morning Football yesterday on the NFL Network. They had Josh Jacobs on, or maybe it was one of the other shows. They had Josh Jacobs on yesterday from Green Bay, and he was talking about the compression of your lungs and your chest when you actually have pads on. And he was like, you know, this really, when you put pads on, that's when you figure out if you're in shape or not. Because it's hard, really hard. It's a lot harder to get a deep breath because you can't really expand your chest the way you would if you didn't have full pads on. He's so right, and I've never even thought about it that way, but he is completely spot on when he talks about that. So, look, it's an adjustment, and it will continue to be an adjustment, but getting those guys into full pads today is going to be a lot of fun, especially if you're out on the hill today getting a chance to check out practice.
I think you also see guys slow down a little bit, and you see some guys don't. Remember that movie Invincible with Marky Mark? And he's trying to make the Eagles, and he's running the special teams drills.
Vincent Papale.
Yeah, he's slower than everybody, and because his pads are too heavy. So then he goes to, like, quarterback pads, and they're like, you can't wear those. And then he picks up a tick, and he's running the same speed. I brought that up because, like, we see it's great when we see guys in underwear running 4.3s, but can they run a 4.3 with a helmet and pads on? Because that's the difference in speed and football speed. And some guys are slowed down, and some guys – Julio Jones – didn't slow down when he put a helmet and pads on. Some guys do. And so you kind of see guys look good out here with just a helmet and shorts on, but do they look the same? Do they run that crisp routes? You know, so it just changes. It just feels more like real football than anything. That kind of feels like you're in your backyard when they just got a helmet with a helmet on and shorts. This feels like a right at real football. And they're not going to the ground. They don't go to the ground in these practices. So if you're coming out here thinking somebody's going to get decleated every play and driven into the ground, you're probably not going to get what you want.
Well, Mike, you had the observation the other day. Someone was wondering if one of the guy's helmets was fitting properly because he kept taking it off and putting it back on. And you're like, no, he hasn't worn a helmet, and that thing is so heavy.
So heavy.
His neck hurts.
Yeah.
What kind of adjustments are they going to be doing with these pads today?
Yeah, there's going to be some of that as well. You know, what's tight, what's not tight? Do you want just the strap? There's two different kinds of straps. One's kind of like a belt buckle, and the other one is like a spandex kind of, you know, strap that'll reach around and hook in. And I used to wear both of those. Some guys only wear one or the other. But, yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of things like that. Whenever you introduce something that you haven't had in a long time, they haven't worn pads in a long time. Some of these guys have never worn pads in NFL. So they'll continue to kind of tinker with those things and make sure they all fit right. Some guys will change the size of their pads throughout training camp. Some guys will go bigger. Some guys will go smaller. Some guys will want double-sided tape on their pads, you know, in terms of not getting their jerseys grabbed. So there's a little bit of everything. It's kind of a moving target, if you will, in terms of what they're being asked to do.
Yeah, by the way, guys, Falcons training camp is we're going to have it through August 13th on Sports Radio 910 The Game. And our own site exclusive coverage with all of our shows here is brought to you by Hooters Mall of Georgia and North Georgia Honda Dealers. Also, Margaritaville at LanierIslands.com. So go out there. There's no party like a Hooters party. Don't forget, Dukes and Bell will be there from 2 to 6 today, and they'll have Leonard Floyd on the show. All of that is brought to you by here on Sports Radio 910 The Game. I butchered that, but it doesn't matter.
Coming up,
hit the sponsors.
Andy and Randy had a conversation with Hall of Fame tight end Shannon Sharp. We're going to play some audio from that regarding Kyle Pitts. That's next with the Morning Shift live from Falcons training camp on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. It's the Morning Shift live from Falcons training camp in Flyray Branch. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson and Bo Morgan. Dylan back at the home studio keeping things rolling. It is a big day out here at Falcons training camp with the pads going on today. If you're coming out here, I'm going to warn you again. You need to wear shorts, a tank, lots of water. It is toasty already, and we are under a heat advisory until 8 o'clock tonight. We've already got our fan on, and the sun isn't up, if that tells you anything.
Yeah, you know, I'm curious what happened here because Mike set this fan up, and it was on me.
Uh-huh.
And Gordon has moved it, and now it's just on Allie. And
he's getting your own personal, man.
Okay. Okay. All right.
He's got another fan for you there. We're not completely set up yet.
All right. Just checking because I was like, how did I go from having a fan to
Well, I'm going to be like your mother today. Hydrate, because it is going to be extremely, extremely warm today. Yesterday, Hall of Fame tight end Shannon Sharp joined the midday show with Andy and Randy. They had a really interesting conversation. They got to talking about Kyle Pitts and how his health has affected his career.
Well, I think the biggest thing is to stay healthy. It's hard to perform at an elite level when you're injured. Even the slightest nick can throw you off and it starts messing with your head. And plus, he had such an outstanding rookie year. There are not a whole lot of rookie tight ends that come in and off the clip, go get you a grand. And that's what he did. So the bar was raised extremely high. And he had to deal with a lot of different quarterbacks. He was dealing with injuries.
And if Kyle stays healthy, Shannon went on to say that he is expecting big things from him.
He does have a very unique skill set. He's a guy that's tremendous run after the catch. He's a big target. He runs good routes. So I'm expecting a big year, but he can only have a big year if he's healthy. And I had this conversation. I said, bro, when they start talking about these tight ends, they need to talk about you. You hear them talk about LaPorta, and they talk about McBride, and they talk about Hockenson, and they talk about Travis Kelce. I said, bro, you have the ability. You can run routes like a receiver. You're fluid. You can drop your hips. You can get in and out of breaks. You can make tough contested catches. You're great run after the catch. And he said, man, you know, you're right. He said, but I just got to stay healthy.
I'm playing a little bit of radio double dutch here. You know what I mean? You got the ropes start going, and you're like, I'm backing out. Wait a minute. No, I'm in. No, I'm out. Look, and that's imperative for everybody, right? I mean, I think that's the way kind of this thing goes, and this conversation surrounding Kyle Pitts. I know that there's some people out there that are, like, tired of hearing about it. It's weird to me, the fan base of the Falcons right now. It's almost split 50-50, maybe a little bit skewed into, you know, feeling like it's not going to be a good year or they're not expecting big things. But there are still a lot of people that are expecting massive seasons out of Kyle Pitts. And the more he does some of these media hits, I know he visited with Shannon and Ocho Cinco and had that conversation. And, Chad Ocho Cinco was calling for, you know, however many thousand yards and this, that, and the other. Like, I just want things to feel consistent for Kyle Pitts. Is that fair? I like, if it's consistently 50 yards a game, then so be it. if it's consistently 40 yards a game, if they're finding him early or if they're finding him late, it just seems like too many times, Bo, in the last couple of years, it's like, oh, Kyle Pitts coming out party. Oh, he's wide open. Oh, they're going to hit him for an explosive. And then he just goes away for one game, two games. And I know a lot of that has to do with game plan out of Zach Robinson and different fronts they're seeing and different things they're trying to bring to the table. But, man, it can be really frustrating for guys that want to follow his career and really rooting him on.
This is one I'm at a loss for, because no matter what I say, seems to be that I'm having to defend it one way or the other. I understand that Kyle, year three, 2023 to me, I thought Kyle got a pass from me, because I do believe that he was never quite exactly what you thought he might be. But last year, that I don't know what the excuse is, because the same quarterback stuff. Well, Drake London didn't bother him. Darnell Mooney didn't bother him. Well, they threw them the ball. Why? Because they got open, and they could you could trust that if there was a contested catch, those guys were going to make. So I understand he's got to stay healthy, but I don't buy that. Nobody is healthy in this league after training camp, or after week one, I should say. Most every player has a nick or something or a bruise or whatever. I mean, everybody's got their own issues they're dealing with. So it just feels like whatever happens this year is going to be a bow, no pun intended, on his career here, good or bad.
And I want to get you guys' thoughts on this, because I said this to Dylan on Sunday, and I was like, if he goes for 800 yards and 7 touchdowns in that ballpark, I will consider it a win on the season. Like, you know what I mean? I don't need him to get to the 1,000-yard mark or 10 touchdowns or whatever these outlandish claims tend to be at times. I don't know. I don't know that Zach Robinson can get that done. I don't know that Kyle Pitts can get that done. It almost seems unfair to look at it here in year five and go, oh, 1,000 yards. I know he did that as a rookie, but it just doesn't seem to be in his game the last couple of years from what we've seen.
They also didn't have a run game that year, a good running game the year he went for 1,000 yards. It was, you know, it was an offense where he had Matt, and it was really just Kyle. That's the thing to me. That's why I know that there's somewhere there can be a player that can be dependable. Because Matt threw it in some big situations with the game on the line to Kyle, and he made those big plays. I will never forget the Dolphins game. You know, we're in Miami, and they go down and score, and Matt puts a ball, I mean, in between two defenders and just fits it in there. One of a phenomenal throw, but just as good of a catch, and he held on to it. He took a shot, and they win the game because of that play. So, you know, it's one of those deals where I know that there's somewhere in there, but – it doesn't look like that player, that the want-to that was there then is there now, and I don't want to be unfair to him, but I don't know what's fair for. You know, he had a stretch last year where I'm like, he's back, dude, and then he goes the next four. It goes like that's like a 4-game stretch, and then he goes 4 games where I think he had like 3 catches.
Yeah, he had a rough stretch right there.
So I don't expect him to have 1,000 yards. What I expect him to do is have, you know, more than 47 catches for more than 4 touchdowns, okay? I need him being a threat. I agree with Mike Bell, says all the time. I agree with Mike Bell. I need him to be a threat in the red zone, because that's where his skill set comes into play the most. The other thing his skill set is getting the ball on the run and running away from guys, and that is on Zach Robinson. Build in a shallow drag to start a game or – you know, a little slant route to start a game and hit him. And now Kyle's got to win on that slant at the top with his move inside, and he's got to move win with that drag.
Yeah.
But get the ball with him running away from people and let him eat. But then again, he's got to understand that he's got to be able to make that 5 yards turn around and a guy draped on you like Tony Gonzalez can make. Those are tight end catches. Shannon Sharp made those. And I always thought that, to me, Kyle reminded was a faster, leaner version of Shannon Sharp coming out. Not as big and clearly not as physical.
Do you think Shannon Sharp's being a little softer on his opinion on Kyle Pitts because it's his fellow brother and it's a tight end?
Yeah, I think tight ends are easier on tight ends. Like, I think wide receivers are easier on receivers, and linemen. Mike, linemen are easier on linemen.
No doubt.
I mean,
no, because
absolutely.
You know the struggles. You know the struggles of it, man.
The only position I think that at times they're harder on, and they're also – they're both. at times quarterbacks will straight out call out a quarterback when they make a bad decision or something. But then again, they're the quickest and the hardest to defend when they think it's the other guy's fault, right? Like, if they think that was a bad route, straight up call it. But, you know, they'll go in. But if they think a quarterback can't make a decision, it'll be like, you can't do that. You can't make that throw. So, but I think the rest of the positions are a little bit quicker to stand up for their position.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, so Mike said he would be good with 800 yards. Bo, do you have any expectations for Kyle this year?
Expectations, no. If you told me what would you walk away saying, man, I got to give him his due, I would say seven touchdowns. And the reason why, and he's only got 10 in his career, and the reason why is it would mean, to, I think personally, that he became a threat in the red zone. And that means he physically became more of a physical player.
Yeah, I tend to agree. And it's like I said, I almost feel like, guys, and I talked to Dylan about this again on Sunday, I almost feel like if he were to go for 1,200, like something probably went wrong. I don't think that's the design of what Zach Robinson's trying to accomplish with this offense. I mean, I'm not saying that something went wrong for Kyle Pitts. Obviously, that's an extraordinary year, and you're looking at probably re-signing him to a nice contract if he goes for 1,200. But it just the way things are designed with Darnell and with Drake and with Bijan getting all these rushing yards, I just can't imagine a situation where you're talking about Kyle going for 1,200.
If you told me Kyle Pitts went for 1,200 yards, I would tell you who got hurt.
Yeah, exactly. I feel the same way.
Because it's not – and that's the thing that's where people have to be fair to Pitts, is that when he went for 1,000 yards, it was him. It was nobody else. Ridley, remember, he left the team, and then he got suspended for the gambling issue. Kyle was the only guy Matt had to throw to. That's why I know that Kyle can do it when it's all on him. That's what's crazy for me. But I would tell you that something went terribly wrong. I don't want that from him. I think you said it best, consistency. And there's been no consistency from game to game, quarter of the season, and season to season.
Well, we'll be keeping an eye on Kyle today at training camp and throughout the season and see what happens there. But coming up, Braves win. Braves won. We'll cover that in front page. And we've got my Ally Mac drop. We're going to do some jersey math. It has nothing to do with fist pumping. That is next with the Morning Shift live from Falcons training camp on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the Morning Shift live from Falcons training camp in Flowery Branch. I'm Ally Mac with Mike Johnson and Bo Morgan. Dylan is back at the home studio, and Gordon is making sure we stay on the air out here. So Braves won the first game of the series against the Royals last night, 10-7. They had 14 walks. Everyone but Austin walked, basically. Ozuna and Ronald both had two-run homers. Ronald's homer was crushed, went 468 feet, and Spencer Strider pitched through six innings.
Yeah, you couldn't even see it land. I was trying to I've watched the video like six times trying to watch the ball land, and you could never see it. I mean, it just absolutely – you know, that's like the ticker on ESPN. I'm up this morning, and I'm watching the ticker go through, and – that's like the first time that the Braves have had a positive headline in a long time. It just says, Ronald Acuna Jr. Crushes 468-foot home run. And I was like, wow. Have you seen that field, the Bristol field that they're going to use?
Yes, it looks sick.
If you hit one, I think it's like left field, you might have to hit it like 490 feet. It looks gigantic.
It's a big building, obviously. And yes, it was nice to see the Braves have a positive headline for once. It seems like it's been forever. Spencer Strider a little bit bumpy out of the gate, two earned through two, and then settles in, gets through five innings. This is kind of just – I don't want to say this is a good Spencer Strider outing, because I know that he doesn't settle for outings like this. I know he loves to be locked down, and he wants more than three strikeouts. But 96 pitches through five innings, labored a little bit, but in the end he's able to come out and get it done. And more importantly than ever, the offense is able to do enough to make the pitching kind of subside for a little bit.
Unfortunately, we did lose Hall of Fame second baseman Ryne Sandberg yesterday after battling cancer. He was 65 years old.
Yeah, this is awful. I used to grow up watching I would go to my grandparents, and we'd watch the Cubs on WGN in the afternoon. And Mark Grace, Ryne Sandberg, you know, grew up on some of those guys. And just to think of him going at 65 is absolutely just crazy. And it, just – I hate to hear this. Man, we shouldn't be losing guys like Ryan Sandberg already.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, you mentioned it, man. I grew up a Cubs fan doing the same thing you're talking about. I mean, Shane Bouchel, who is the quarterback – who actually his son played quarterback at Texas. He was a third baseman right there for Ryan Sandberg for a time there in Chicago. The 84 NL MVP, just an incredible baseball player and reportedly even a better dude, man. I just grew up in a Cubs family. I got a lot of family up there in Chicago, and they were all massive fans of Rhino. So – it stinks, man. You're right. Way too early to be losing a guy like that.
Well, Deion Sanders came forward yesterday with his medical news.
We performed a full robot-assisted laparoscopic bladder removal and creation of a new bladder, and I am pleased to report that the results from the surgery are that he is cured from the cancer.
Rick was aware of what was transpiring, and he's been A1 and down there. Just a blessing. Came to Texas to see me as well.
And Deion will continue coaching.
Yeah, he talked about, hey, if there's a porta potty on the sideline, don't be shocked because he doesn't have much control. I'm almost glad these two stories are back to back because I thought Deion did a great job in his presser yesterday of saying, go get checked.
Mm-hmm.
My brothers, my sisters out there, as Deion is so eloquently says, go get checked. And it comes on the heels of this Ryan Sandberg who has had his battles with cancer. Obviously over the last few years and succumbs to it. So he's right, man. Go get checked. I'm glad that Deion utilized that platform to say some of those things, but hoping all the best for him, man, because it just – you want to talk about a guy who a lot of people view as superhuman in so many different ways, and when you see things like this, it kind of hits home. There's a realization about what exactly, the times of life we are in.
Yeah, I don't mean to keep bringing up childhood stuff, but I had the baseball card of Deion going from the baseball player to the football player. I mean, growing up watching him as an Atlanta fan.
Classic.
Still somewhere at my parents' house. And as someone that has had a very close family member recently go through a battle with cancer, it's so scary when that diagnosis comes. And I'm just so happy for Deion that he's gotten through this, hopefully cleared. And, they said that he's cured was the word. I'm very happy for him. It's so crazy. But you said somebody that seemed superhuman. I don't understand how Deion has had to go through all this. He had the thing with his foot, and now this. I mean, it's just wild that one of the most amazing athletes that we've ever seen in sports has had such horrific battles off the field, but he's doing what he's always done, and that's overcoming and beating things. And I'm really glad that he's healthy for not only him but his family, and it's just crazy. But, yeah, I guess I need to start doing that because I'm 42 now. You hear him say, go get checked, and you're like, yeah, I've been to the doctor, I don't know,
time. It's time
yeah,
for
go
all
get
of
checked.
Us.
Go get checked. Well, apparently, Bryce Harper cussed out Rob Manfred over a potential salary cap.
I'm going to tell you something. If you're a baseball fan and you have an issue with Rob Manfred and you also think that you hate Bryce Harper, you probably want to check your hatred for Bryce Harper at the door because he just did what probably 85 to 90% of every baseball fan in America wants to do, and that's cuss out the commissioner. Now, I think the commissioner's done a couple of good things here and there, but as a whole, he's a very irritating commissioner. He's my second least favorite of all the commissioners of the ones that the leagues that I kind of follow. I don't count NHL because Gary Bettman can go get lost for what he did with this city, but it's crazy, and I love it. I absolutely love it. First off, do I think there should be a salary cap? Probably, yeah.
I was going to say that same thing. I was like, yeah.
Because we're ruining the sport with – the sport is getting worse with the top heaviness, I should say. But he's in the locker room giving a speech, and Bryce Harper, from what I read, Mike, is sitting there like gripping a baseball bat, like just stewing. And then – he's waiting for Manfred to go to the salary cap thing, and he just stands up and was like, if you're going to talk about this, you can get the blank out of the blanking locker room, mother blanker, and, like, right in his face. And I'm here for it. Just like I'm here for James Pierce Jr. energy, like, going, I'm here for that. Like, bring it all.
And it is weird, too, because I don't love Bryce Harper. I like him as a baseball player, but I think, he's had a number of bouts with the Atlanta Braves, and obviously over the years has led to a lot of disappointing moments for Atlanta Braves fans. I also do, in the end, believe there should be a salary cap. Now, I, as a former member of a PA, I think that, you know, whatever PA, whatever year the MLB PA signs off on a salary cap is an absolute non-starter for most people. But in the end, man, I don't blame Rod Manfred for wanting it. We talk all the time that I say that one of the reasons the NFL is the most one of the most popular leagues in the world is because it's the most fair league in the world. It's fair from top to bottom. The money's the same. The draft picks are the same. The divisions are well mapped out, and everybody's kind of going up and going down. You just don't see that in baseball. But I do love the fact that Bryce Harper stepped to Rod Manfred. I was like, look, dude. Non-starter for us. Get out of the locker room, not even starting to talk about it. And I think that most players kind of have that energy in this direction.
Yeah, two things can be true. And this is one of those deals where I like Bryce Harper. I don't like him as a baseball player. I like him as a baseball fan. But as a media member and a guy that watches the game and just enjoys baseball when it's just not my team playing, he's great for the game. There needs to be something to bring the game back to the middle, because remember when the NBA they had in the finals was two small market teams, you know, Indiana and the Oklahoma City.
Yep.
You'll never have Kansas City Royals and the Pittsburgh Pirates in a World Series. Never, never, ever, 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 ever. Because this is not how the sport's built.
Well, between Kyle Schwarber and the swing off and the All-Star game and Bryce Harper with this, I'm afraid of how much like I'm liking Phillies players right now. I know.
Oh,
I know.
I still openly pull for their demise.
Well,
Pete Alonso. I don't even want to go that direction.
So I know we didn't get into radio to do math, but we're going to do a little bit right now in my Mac drop. Okay, so we're going to do jersey math here. Basically, I'm going to give you math problems based on their jersey numbers.
Okay?
If you don't know the jersey number, you are allowed to phone a friend, who is Dylan, back at the studio, who can Google their number for you real quick.
Is it unlimited phone a friends?
It is unlimited. Each question is going to be worth 2 points. If you phone a friend, 1 point gets taken away.
Okay.
There's a lot of math in this. I'm not liking
it. I just don't want a question to come up and you're like, I don't know his number. So we're creating an option for this. So, Mike, we will start with you. What do you get when you add Bijan Robinson and Ronald Acuna Jr.?
Bo.
30.
That is incorrect, Mike.
Golly.
Can
Bo,
I steal?
Go ahead and steal.
20.
You get 20.
7 plus 13 equals 20.
I couldn't remember Ronnie's number, and I panicked. I thought it was 23 like MJ.
All right, Bo. Take Trey Young's number, multiply it by the number on Jesse Bates' jersey.
You get 33.
You do.
God, you're going to be so much better at this than me. This is so not my wheelhouse, dude.
It is 4-0 with Bo in the lead. All right, Mike, subtract Matt Olson's jersey from LeBron James.
Phone a friend.
What jersey numbers
are Matt Olson?
Are you serious right now, Mike?
Yeah, dude. This is not my wheelhouse at all, man. I am bad at this.
So just to be clear, you said Matt Olson minus LeBron?
Correct.
Okay, you get 5.
Okay. I don't think that's what we were looking for. I just needed Matt Olson's jersey.
Oh, my bad.
Dylan's like, mark me down.
My bad.
I'm going to give you that one because that's not your fault, Mike.
That's wrong.
It's actually -5 because we're subtracting Matt Olson's jersey number from LeBron.
Yeah, oh, see, those are the particulars of it, ain't I?
Yeah, come on, I know.
Come
negative,
on, man.
Positive,
come
whatever.
On,
all right, so we'll move back to Bo now. Add the numbers of these two Georgia Bulldog legends.
I don't know.
Herschel Walker and Brock Bowers.
That would be 34 plus 19 would be 53.
That is correct.
That's so impressive.
It is 6-1.
I almost just want to see if Bo can cook on this. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm looking at him going, this is so his wheelhouse. All right, I'm going to give it a go. Go ahead.
All right. What do you get if you subtract Michael Jordan's iconic jersey from Desmond Ridder's?
What number was Desmond Ridder, the Cincinnati kid? He was...
Doing a phone a friend
for you,
Dylan, what was Desmond Ridder?
So Desmond Ridder actually had two numbers when he first came in. He was 4, but then he went to 9. So
we're going with 9 on this, Dylan.
Okay, so 9.
So then minus 14.
That is correct.
Let's go.
All right, it is 6-2.
I feel good about it. I mean, look, I'm getting there. Go ahead. Bo's going to cook here, though. I think he's the show here.
Why would it be?
This is 23. 9 minus 23.
But it would be minus 14. It would just be 14.
No, it's negative.
How's it negative?
We are subtracting Michael Jordan's iconic jersey from Desmond Ridder.
Don't worry about that, man. Just keep going. I want you to cook
here. I don't understand it. All right, go ahead.
Add the jersey numbers of these MVPs. Shohei Ohtani, Nikola Jokic.
Oh.
Right, that was like, I mean.
That is brutal.
I went to phone a friend because I don't even know if I know Ohtani's jersey right now. Dylan.
Ohtani is 17.
Okay, well, what about Jokic?
He is 15.
Okay, I'm
just some math.
I'm subtracting
nope,
him.
You're adding.
Adding him.
This
that
is
would
brutal.
Be 32.
This is brutal.
32. All right, it is 7-2. Is that the first ding we got?
Yeah. Golly, so bad.
Okay, what is the sum of Mike, Kyle Pitts, Julio Jones, and Mookie Betts? And Julio Jones
Mookie
in Atlanta.
Betts. Let's see. Kyle Pitts is 8. Julio was 11, right?
Mm-hmm.
Julio was actually 8 in college. That's what I remember him most for. Mookie is 50. So let's go with, you know, we're adding them all together.
Uh-huh.
69.
You are correct.
Hey-o.
Nice.
All right, Bo, what do you get if you take Freddie Freeman's Braves jersey number and multiply it by Steph Curry's?
Oh. Steph Curry.
Do the math out loud.
I got to remember Steph Curry. Dylan, what's Steph Curry's number again?
30.
5 times 30?
Man, these are tough.
What's 5 times 3?
5 times 3. So it would be 150?
There you go. Look
yeah,
at you.
We're mathing now, baby. We're mathing.
All right. It is 8-4. We'll do one more. This is a compound jersey math question.
We both work together
question.
On this one?
You guys work together on
okay,
this one.
Okay, let's do this together.
All right. It's Bijan Robinson plus Trey Young
okay.
minus Jesse Bates.
So it's 10 minus 3 at 7.
No.
Bijan times?
Bijan plus Trey Young.
Plus
oh,
Trae
that's
Young.
18.
Okay, mine is Jesse Bates.
That's 15.
There you go.
Okay.
You worked together on that.
Yeah, just talking through it. You just ran away with it, man. Whatever.
All right.
Status quo for the
show. Scale of 1 to 10, how much do you like this game? Should we bring it back?
I liked it, but I need less.
Yeah,
I need. Here's what we need to do. I like it, but we gotta put it like it's got to be one, like all NBA or all NFL or all. Georgia or mm-hmm. all
Make
Falcons.
It easier for
one
you.
Category. I
or
like
all
that.
Atlanta.
No, it was fun.
Or all Atlanta. It was
just
all
because I suck. I don't want to sit here and say that it wasn't a good game because I just sucked. It's all right.
I would have so crushed
I'm
all
gonna
Atlanta.
Suck. I'm going to suck at some you know at thank some point on these things.
Well, thank hey, you both yo. For participating.
I love the fact that you came. That was that's a real. How'd you come up with that?
Congratulations, Bo. It was 8-4. So you win. If we play again, you'll be in the lead for the season. Coming
I will,
up next,
I will bow down to that.
We've got audio from Morgan Fox, Jake Matthews, and Ryan Neuzel on the way. That's next with the Morning Shift live from Falcons training camp on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.